again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 204 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, your host. This week I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey everyone, good to be back.
Back on the show after a few weeks of being out, Ben?
Yeah, had kind of a social life slash some issues sleeping, so yeah. But yeah, no, it's good to be back. And
you're out on a school night, so
yeah.
just in case people don't think that Kenny and I have a social life, Kenny unfortunately couldn't be here this week. Has some personal matters to attend to, I should say. Wish him well on that. Hopefully, get him back next week and beyond. But you and me, Ben, we've done this fair amount of time, so I think we know what we're doing.
Yeah. I think we're too much dusting off the cobwebs in terms of remembering or needing too much of a training wheels rehearsal and all that stuff. So I think we should be good.
More or less. And we have some news to talk about this week from basketball and basketball video games. And I guess we should just get right into it. The first story being that 2K Sports has announced the cover and the pre-order bonuses for the Legend Edition and the Standard Edition, of course, of NBA 2K18. We don't know who the cover of the main cover athlete for the Standard Edition is going to be, but we do know that Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Famer, four-time champion, of course, and former two-time NBA 2K cover athlete, he is going to be on the cover of the Legend Edition, following on from the Kobe Legend Edition last year. And there's going to be two rather expensive collector's editions, Ben, the Legend Edition and the Legend Edition Gold, much like last year.
Yeah. Surprising cover pick to a degree. Was thinking maybe someone a little bit different, but interesting choice to say.
I mean, I suppose he's in the game already as both a playable legend. He has been since he retired in 2011, and he's in there as the pregame. He's in there with the show with EJ and pregame, postgame, and halftime with EJ and Kenny. Kenny Smith, not our Kenny, obviously. So yeah, he's going to be on the cover of the Legend Edition, and we don't know who the cover player is again for the Standard Edition. We'll get to that in a moment. But they also released a list of the pre-order bonuses, as I said. And just a quick rundown of those. The Standard Edition, also the early tip-off weekend, which they're doing again this year, September 15th, that will be happening with the official street date of September 19th, so we also have the release date. But the Standard Edition is going to have pre-order bonuses of 5,000 VC, 10 weekly My Team packs with a Team 2K card, so they're going to do the same Team 2K again like they did last year with the, what would you call it? Not sponsored athletes.
I kind of want to say spokesman.
Kind of, yeah. They're kind of, in addition to the cover athlete, kind of the spokesman for the game. Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. My Player Apparel, they haven't said what it's going to be yet. This for the Standard Edition. And, of course, the early tip-off weekend. The Legend Edition, again, you get the early tip-off. 100,000 VC. 20 weekly My Team packs with a guaranteed Shaq card and a Team 2K card. The Shaq Attack shoes from the Orlando Magic days, I believe.
Yep.
The Shaq jerseys and other My Player apparel. A championship ring, I guess, wearable for your your My Player. And this one, like last year, comes with physical collectibles, Shaq My Team stickers, trading cards, and a poster. And then we've got the Legend Edition Gold, which is all the Legend Edition content, plus another 150,000 VC for a total of 250,000. Additional 20 My Team packs for a total of 40 with a guaranteed Shaq card and Team 2K card. The Shaq's jersey collection across, I guess, his entire career. There's a couple of Magic jerseys in there, a couple of Lakers, and a Minneapolis Lakers throwback that he wore a couple of times when he was with the Lakers for the Hardwood Classics nights. And with the physical collectibles, five additional trading cards and a lenticular cover featuring Shaq on the Lakers. And for that matter, the Gold Edition has him on the Lakers, appropriately enough, wearing the purple and gold, and the Heat for the Standard Legend Edition. So, much the same as last year, Ben. Same kind of pre-order bonuses. Thankfully, no Dream Team as far as being an exclusive. That wasn't a good deal last year, I think. But
that was a bit of poor taste, I think, in terms of things.
I wrote about that in the Friday Five. I said that what I would like to see in pre-order bonuses, I'd much rather have exclusive clothes than content that's restricted like that. I mean, you can most people can take or leave my player accessories, but extra teams like the Dream Team, you want to put that in the game as a selling point for everyone, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And the price point for the Legend Edition in US dollars is $99.99 and $149.99 for the Legend Edition Gold. Although I've seen some people post on Twitter that some people are trying to sell a Legend Edition Gold for about $200 or $199.99, so a cent cheaper, I guess. And it sort of comes back to what we said last year when they announced the Legend Edition. None of us got it. You, Kenny, or myself, we just went with the Standard Edition and then just paid for some VC to boost our players when the game came out. It's great, I guess, if you're a big Shaq fan and if you really want the extra VC and the My Team packs. The My Team packs are kind of appealing to me, I guess. But, yeah, it's a lot of money to spend, especially since I usually double dip on PC and PS4. But even if I was just going for the one version, it's... For Michael Jordan, I'd do it, you know, because he's my all-time favorite player and, you know, nothing against Shaq as a player. You know, I guess I've had my criticisms of some of his more childish moments over the years. But, I mean, again, it appeals to people as a Shaq fan or if you really have to have the ultimate collector edition of every single game you get. But personally, I think I'll do the same thing, go for the standard edition. And if I want to buy the VC, I'll just buy a pack of VC and use the money that I would have spent on the collector's edition with the for the pack of VC.
Yeah, at this stage, I'll do the same thing. I am concerned, though, in terms of the amount of VC that you get is maybe suggesting it's going to be more of a grind and sort of pay-to-play element, I guess. Yes, it's a nice, generous amount, especially given, but still, it has that sort of, we'll say, yellow to red flag warning. It's like, oh... Okay, so it's going to be another grind-out session?
No, you said that as soon as we've been talking about it since it was announced, and that was one of the first things you said was, I bet this is going to be a grind, because look at all the VC. You know, you wouldn't give that VC unless there was something to spend it on. And
yeah.
And if what you had to spend it on wasn't expensive, I think... I mean, how much did we get last year? We got the 5,000 VC again last year. I think most of us, when we because the first time we got the game, we actually played 2K Pro-Am that night. Created Thrill Ho that night. Very night. Although I think we didn't call it Thrill Ho until later. But I think I got the 75,000 pack, and I think you got the... Did you get the 30,000 or 50,000 pack?
I think it was 35. I think I only spent... Although I did spend a couple of... I think I'd spent $20.
Oh, during the prelude?
Yeah, 5 was during the prelude. And that was just to sort of help boost, and that was to sort of see if it would make a difference in the play. But when the actual game came out is when I spent, I think, another 15.
Right.
I think that was for the 35,000.
Right. Yeah, so, I think we had the bonus, the 50,000 went up to 75,000. I think that was about $30 or something that I spent, the other guys spent. And that kind of got us to about 78 overall or something, I think, at the time.
Yes, between 76 and 78, depending.
And then, because Kenny did an experiment with his 200,000 a while back, and got that second player up to 88 overall. So, you know, that's sort of like as much as it took last year, or in 2K17, I should say, to upgrade a player from the 55 overall to the cap of 88, which is the pay cap of 88. So, yeah, that suggests we're probably going to get 55 overall again, which means it's going to be a huge grind, which... is problematic, especially when the story, as we've said before, is that you're supposed to be a big deal coming into the NBA and you're 55 overall. It doesn't really match up.
Yeah, it's yeah, and given the precedent, why I reacted like that is given the amount that of extra VC you got in last year's game and that, and going by how much of a grind that was in terms of it. So it was like, yeah, it was just sort of going, well, if history is repeating itself in this sense, and the fact that they're raising it a lot more in terms of things, it's, yeah, I suppose a cause for concern in that element. If it's not going to be such the grind in terms of things. You know, if they're adding a lot more customization elements to it, or you know, things you can utilize, and you know, really what would be putting towards your VC instead of just grinding and to max your player out and that.
Yeah, and the other thing that's been pointed out in the forum is, of course, once again, they're putting the pre-order bonuses out long before they're releasing information about the game. So yeah. I guess it's kind of presumptuous in that respect. They have that reputation. The sales are there every year, so I guess they have reason to be confident. But, you know, a lot of people weren't that happy with 2K17, especially after the patches. So it is kind of presumptuous to be advertising these pre-order bonuses so early and saying, you know, put your money down now before you know anything about a game that last year you weren't too happy about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and again, a lot of the information that we actually didn't get confirmation or clarification until after the game came out when we started playing it. It was like, well, okay, on some of the things that they had said. So it was like, the other concern is, are we going to experience that again in terms of things? And so I could see it being a reason why people might be cautious in pre-ordering it now.
Absolutely.
Given what happened with 2K17 and how even the amount of post-release patches and that, and how it's sort of the game has really fluctuated in terms of consistency in terms of things and felt really different each time. And that it was like, okay, maybe there's a possibility of waiting and just sort of seeing. So
yeah, and if the pre-order bonuses, I think the Dream Team got a lot of people to pre-order last year. I think that was one of the main things that got you to bite the bullet when you originally weren't going to.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think that's been released as DLC yet. Originally it was going to be, but I don't think it has, or maybe it was only in the US that it was. I've checked the PlayStation Store. Last time I checked, it wasn't there. So, yeah, like I say, that should not be a pre-order exclusive. It's, you know, that should be content that everyone should be able to get. Or, you know, it should at least be DLC for a nominal amount. But one last thing that I mentioned about the cover. Did you notice that they've changed the 2K logo? It's, instead of having NBA 2K, now it's just got the NBA logo.
Yeah. Interesting design choice. I guess, you know, people just sort of refer it to as 2K and then the year, obviously. So I think, you know, shortening down, like how Mountain Dew changed their logo in terms of just being MTNDEW. You know, something along the terms of abbreviating it in that sort of way.
It stands out, for sure. And it's, you know, I guess it's emphasizing the 2K above the NBA, because I guess we all know what the, you know, there's NBA 2K and it's stylish and everything. But yeah, I guess it's following the current trend in that respect.
Yeah, it's the most interesting in terms of abstract cover and compared to previous years and that. So yeah, it's,
but that court design in the background,
yeah,
it's just, I think it's fine, and I reckon that it, obviously the standard edition is going to have something similar, probably in the colors of the cover player perhaps. Speaking of which, you know, who do you think is going to be on the standard cover? I think it's going to be someone of Team 2K most likely. I could see them going for Kevin Durant again.
I could, but I think if history were going by history, it's usually been the person that's been the cover boy for the My 2K app.
Mm-hmm. So Carl Anthony Towns this year, wasn't it?
Yep. So good chance he could be. Although, if you know, it's felt like he didn't have a strong enough season.
I mean, I think go with
someone else.
I mean, I guess the only thing is, as you know, as you say, the Timberwolves not being one of the top teams. Although Paul George was kind of a surprise last year. I mean, the Pacers haven't been at the top of the conference for some time now. And
But he was the Apps cover boy.
He was indeed, yes.
So that's so. Where it sort of was like, well. And I think Harden was the year before, and he was on one of the three cover options and that. So
No, that's probably a good bet now that you mention it, Karl Anthony Towns. If that trend continues, then he seems to be a pretty solid pick. And he is a rising star in the league, so...
Yeah.
It's and if they're doing the Legend Edition cover, obviously they've got a big name of some kind for people who want to pre-order or, you know, get the special edition. So I guess they can afford to go for the rising star for the standard edition and go, and they've got the really big name for the Legend Edition. So that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So we mentioned the 1992 Dream Team, which was a pre-order exclusive in last year's game, which is one of the reasons why many of us pre-ordered, I think, apart from, you know, obviously intent to get the game itself. But of course, Charles Barkley is actually featured in the Dream Team, as he was in NBA 2K13. But infamously, he has not been featured in a lot of games over the years. And there's always speculation as to why, but it's come to light that basically it's kind of out of protest of players not getting their due. College players not being compensated for appearing in games and that kind of thing, and retired players in particular. And when they discussed the Shaq cover on NBA on TNT, came out with a very noteworthy moment with Charles Barkley about talking to get him into the game. And he said he would absolutely do it, but he'd want 2K Visual Concepts to donate to the Retired Players Association. And he just threw out the token sum of $1 million there. I say token, like I've got $1 million laying around to pay to donate to anyone. But yeah, so it was actually interesting that he said, you know, publicly said, I guess confirmed his stance on why he doesn't appear in video games for a start, because that's been a bit of speculation for many years. But at the same time said, yeah, you know, if you do make this gesture to the retired players, many of whom do appear as historic players in the retro teams in NBA 2K, if you make that donation, he'll do it. He said he doesn't want to be paid a cent, but he wants them to make that gesture. So I guess the ball's in their court.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, the possibility that it could also apply to EA as well. You know, if they want to have him in the game, you know, I'm sure that's the sort of same request in that sort of sense would open to both companies. And
I mean, yeah, if you want to get him into Ultimate Team, pony up that $1 million and send, or more, and send it to the NBA Retired Players Association. Yeah. And I mean, well, that's a good cause anyway. I mean, you look at the players who have gone bust, and people say, oh, it's their own fault and this and that. But, you know, I don't think that a lot of these guys are prepared properly for the end of their career. And sometimes they do get bad advice and people take advantage of them. You know, the entourage.
Sometimes their careers are cut short because of injury.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the... And people say, oh, well, that's the life of an athlete. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I guess I can empathize or sympathize a little bit more. You know, they're human beings at the end of the day. And these initiatives by the Retired Players Association, obviously good initiatives to look after their alumni and their members. So, yeah, I mean, if it seems to be a good cause to donate to, is if you're going to be using their likenesses in games, you know, it seems to be the least you could do. So... And if it gets a legend like Barkley or a Reggie Miller or someone else in the game by making that kind of gesture, then certainly we as gamers benefit as well.
Exactly. Just want to bring up, like, other sports do similar things. Like here in Australia with the rugby league, you know, they got the men of league, and they got like the old sort of Queensland Maroons players and stuff. They do all these sort of charities, or they sort of do fundraising in it, and they help out like former players, you know, that, you know, had hardships or, you know, crippling injuries or even just recent like health issues and stuff, like, you know, post retirement and all that stuff. Like if, you know, they you know, end up developing something like cancer or something like that, you know, they do all these things to try and help them and their families and all that. So there's similar type of initiatives in that in other leagues and that. So, you know, the fact that, you know, it's not just, and those guys do earn obviously a lot less and that than the NBA players in terms of things, but yeah, it's good programs like that help, you know, especially, we'll use an example, especially with rugby league in terms of, you know, players with injuries in terms of like concussion or brain injuries and stuff like that, because it is a very high contact sport.
Yeah.
You know, that there wasn't the science and medicine and stuff like that, the technology to sort of help them, or even the understanding of how to manage concussion and things like that. So, you know, 10, 20 years later, you know, players are, you know, having
is that memory loss and other post-concussion symptoms. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way to look after them in simple type situations in the last world and all that stuff as well. So,
and it's these guys do have a limited career because there's only so long you can be a professional athlete. Certain sports, I mean, golf has obviously lasted a bit longer. but yeah, you know, these men and women wreck their bodies, you know, for our entertainment and our enjoyment, basically, and are often treated like commodities and are traded around and signed and waived, and you know, job security is not always there. You know, some people say boo-hoo, but you know, it is what it is, and you can certainly sympathize with the situation. So yeah, these initiatives are definitely for the best. And again, as far as the basketball games are concerned, if a token amount, you know, $1 million or whatever, again, easy for me to say when it's not my money, but if that's what it will take to get some of these legends into the game, making a gesture of goodwill, you know, saying don't pay me, but you know, pay the Retired Players Association, yeah, I say you know, that's on you, 2K. He's thrown it out there. So if that's, you know, I mean, I guess if they make that donation then he doesn't appear, it's like, well, then that's on him for being disingenuous. But but yeah, he's put that down out there for what 2K can do to get him into the game. Hopefully they can find the funds. And real currency, not virtual currency, because I don't think the retired players can live on that somehow. So, NBA Playgrounds released this week. We've been talking about NBA Playgrounds for a few weeks now. Saber Interactive is the company behind that, the developer. And it's the and they published it as well. It's in their in-house engine that they developed. It's the Saber 3D engine. And as we said before, it's an arcade basketball game in the style of both Jam and Street. We've both been looking forward to it. Kenny was as well. A lot of people in the community were definitely looking forward to having an arcade game as a break from the simulation games. Always been room for that, as Jam and Street fans, many of us back in the day. So the game came out, and you know, people have been posting their impressions of it. They've already found out the PC version looks like it might be moddable, Ben.
Which would be awesome.
Definitely awesome if they can get some, if we can get some tools and other techniques going there. We'll definitely be covering that. But as far as the game itself is concerned, you know, we obviously have impressions. I'll throw it over to you first because you actually got the closed beta, I think, when they got leaked.
I haven't got to play it too much obviously since, and that's because I have to actually purchase the game and that's I got about I was almost finished my fourth game before the sort of beta time ran out. It was because it sort of cut out with an error and stuff in the last probably like couple minutes of the game, and I just rallied back and made a really good comeback from basically being something like 8 or 10 points down on that, so to be about 4 or so in front before the game just sort of conked out, but was undefeated in when I was playing in that. So basically 3 confirmed wins and 1 that I was just about to get. Early impressions. The layup element in terms of timing in that can be a bit frustrating, especially when you miss it sideways and like on the side of the basket, especially if you're doing it potentially. No, I suppose both sides are tricky in that sense, and you sort of can't tell exactly. We'll say definitely if your character's shooting it from the side that's closest to the camera, and then the ball goes over the rim, but you might not be able to tell as easy if it's gone in or not. So the camera angle / perception might be a bit tricky to tell at times if you've sort of made it, or you know, just how close you were to making it and that. I think that can throw the player off. What other things? There's some missed dunks. I kind of expect that. The shooting timing, I think the element, there are elements with, especially with, in terms of layups and that could be improved. The first time I was doing crossover stuff and I was trying to get used to it, it felt kind of weird at first and that, and I was trying to, the second time when I was had the two or three games in a row kind of thing, I was trying to get a bit more familiar with it. But yeah, at times it didn't feel as I was wondering or if I wasn't doing it right. So I wanted to spend more time on it before I give a proper judgment. I think it's not a bad start. I think just a couple of tweaks here and there and it could be more enjoyable, or less sort of like clunky and non-responsive in terms of things. But I did have fun playing it and trying to get used to it and that. I was probably one of the jerk players in terms of like shoving a lot to get ball and that. So.
Oh, you weren't playing clean.
Well, I mean, I was trying to legitimately go for a steal or make a stop in the play and that. But you know, when the player's getting on that fast break situation, no easy lanes, so no easy dunk plays and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, there was a few times. I think the second guy that I played in particular, and I think I uploaded that video, I think there's a moment where he's kind of like, you could tell he's just annoyed. He's just sort of like he's playing, but he's kind of not.
He's got kind of given it, like when we're just going through the motions in Pro-Am when it's really annoying us.
Yeah. I think it was, I kind of like, after reviewing it, I was, after the game and that, I mean, I was happy I got the win, but I was kind of like, and then sort of seeing it, I was like, maybe I was a bit of a...
I see where he's coming from. Just...
Yeah, I think maybe I was probably a bit of a jerk that game. But I mean, it was my second game. I was just trying to get used to it. I think the game that I played beforehand, I think the guy that I was playing with, I think did a lot of shoving on me. So I think it was just an instinctive reaction. It was like, all right, so this is what I got to do to try and play. So I think it was a scenario from that. It was just instinctive from the experience of the first game.
Well, it's the traditional strategy for the arcade basketball games, is to knock people down, steal a ball. Yeah. That's the easiest way to get the steal traditionally. So it's kind of what we're used to doing.
I think too, like, because I think I was up like 32-0 or something again in that second game, and I think I got a little bit showboaty, kind of like just trying to tease him a bit,
doing all the leaners and everything, seeing if you can get the weirdest shots possible.
Well, I think it was like fake going for the dunk, dish it out to my other guy.
Oh right, yeah,
that kind of thing, and just sort of, I don't know, just sort of showboating a bit and just sort of like, yeah, just sort of being a bit arrogant. But you know, I think, was it 42-8 was the final score,
right?
Against
you just played online, didn't you? You didn't play any of the offline.
Yeah, tournaments. Well, in the beta mode.
Oh, it was all online.
It was all online.
Okay.
I think it was way just to sort of, you know, do a slight stress test on the servers.
Absolutely, and obviously, you know, they're counting on it being a multiplayer game, so that the better it is. So you would say that your initial impressions are mostly positive, or?
Yeah. I think just a couple of tweaks, and the game can potentially be solid. I think the element with the shot clock, the shot meter, it's just something a little bit more visually clear in terms of that. Layups could be a little bit better in terms of angle. I think I read your comments are sort of about blocks, where the kind of stiff will just sort of go away. I think so. I think there was a few moments to me when I was trying to rebound or trying to go for a block kind of thing. It was just kind of a little bit clunky or just not doing kind of what I was hoping.
It's probably one of the more prominent issues, which I'll get to in a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, so I do think, a couple of improvements there, and I think the game can be fun. It'd be one that I'd want to play with my mates in like co-op, in terms of things, and you know catch up, have them over, and you know have like the two or four players and all that stuff. So I think there'd be an element of that would be enjoyable. So that'll be something that I'd like to do.
It's one of those things where it looks like multiplayer is going to be the focus of the game, which is not necessarily bad, but I suppose I'll get to that. I've spoken in the forum. You know, I mentioned it to you guys when I was playing the game yesterday. to be frank, disappointed in the game. I've come away with, contrast to a lot of people, more negative opinions, which is a disappointment because I was really looking forward to it, being a Jam fan from back in the day. But I have laid out some hopefully more constructive critique, because my initial remarks were just snarky. But what I do like about the game, you know, the aesthetic is nice. You know, it's a nice throwback to previous games. The kind of the action figure appearance of players, it kind of works. It's distinctive. You know, I think it's different, and it certainly, again, fits the arcade theme. The controls are pretty straightforward. They're familiar. No sort of real complaints about that. Penalties for shoving, that's an interesting way of cleaning up the game and you know, making you use a bit more strategy. Same with the lottery bonuses, lottery pick wheel. XP is earned fairly quickly, and it's earned in all modes, and you can kind of level up pretty quickly and get the card pack, so that's pretty good, especially with the tournaments. You can start building up the card collection fairly quickly. Dunks are cool, you know, they're very Jam-like, and you know, pretty awesome, some of the ones, you know, the crazy 50-foot dunks. The shorter games are kind of, I both like and dislike. I sort of would love to have the old 12 minute games, 4 3-minute quarters, compressed game, but at the same time, you know, it can be better to get a lot of games in. No microtransactions is fantastic. They said that there was not going to be, unless there was a demand for them. Hopefully there will be no demand for them, because we've got enough pay to win. And yep. Exhibition games have options for the time and the score as the winning condition. So there's definitely some good stuff there. And a lot of the concepts, you know, solid ideas. For me, it's really the execution of a lot of those ideas, because the controls, even though they're intuitive, they're a bit stiff and unresponsive, especially on blocks, as you noted before that I said. You know, there's times when I also want to go straight up for the block, or kind of go with the player and it goes in the wrong direction. Rebounding is kind of broken. You know, there's a lot of flat-footed rebounds, and you kind of jump for the board and you just completely miss it. The CPU seems to always be able to suck the ball in on that. It's kind of a bit cheesy there. I totally agree with the shot timing seems inconsistent, especially on layups. So many layups miss, like a ridiculous amount of inside shots miss. They've kind of gone a bit sim in that, but even I think 2K, even 2K's layout meter is more forgiving than that, and it's a sim game. And I think that's kind of one of my big problems with the stamina meter as well. The stamina drains really quickly, and I see what they're doing there, so that you don't spam sprint and shove and steal and everything. But I feel it drains too quickly. Again, you don't lose that much stamina in a sim game, 2K17, doing that kind of stuff. Shot clock at 12 seconds. I see why they've done it, and I had my concerns about it, and I kind of don't like it. I'd like it more if there was an on-screen display when the shot clock's getting low. I think that's my main problem, the lack of an on-screen display and a score overlay. I think you definitely need that, if nothing else, when time is running out. You know, it's not just enough to have the buzzer sounding. There is a scoreboard there that's along both baselines and along the sideline at the back, but
basically like in like the 1950s sort of.
And that's an interesting aesthetic, and it kind of works, but from a gameplay point of view, I think you need some kind of overlay to at least warn you, especially when you get hit by the debuff and the shot clock gets halved to 6 seconds, because it's I think that's my other problem with the boost, why they feel cheesy, is that they come along too quickly. It's too easy to, you know, like every second or third play you've got a power up in effect. And I think that's given them a bit too much influence over the game, especially the lightning shots. They're just so cheesy. Also, I had an issue, and it's definitely not my controller because it doesn't happen in other games, but when I go to fake a shot, it will often shoot a quick release. I'm like, no, I just tapped it. That should just be a fake. So I think they need to tune the timing on that. CPU is kind of cheesy. The CPU teammate is useless. You know, even if you call for an alley-oop, they don't really go. see anything else. The tournament mode, I feel, could be a bit deeper. Like, once you complete the tournament, it's all about online play. I think there should be more single-player stuff, and hopefully they add some more post-release. I mean, it is a new release after all, and they are looking to do some post-release content, including a dunk contest and three-point shootout. Yeah, and some nitpicks more than necessarily objectively bad stuff. The modes being locked at the start of the game. You've got to play through the an exhibition tutorial to then get to the tournament and then win a tournament game to get to online. I'm a fan of having everything available to you straight away. In the power release, player measurements are metric instead of imperial, which is a big pet peeve for me. Live 16 did it as well, hated it there. It's the NBA, feet, inches, and pounds, you know, which is funny because I obviously use metric being Australian, but for NBA games, I just prefer the imperial because it's more realistic for an NBA game. Players are hidden until they're unlocked. I kind of like to have them, you know, shadowed out so you can kind of have a preview of who to unlock. I know we do. We've got the listing was released before before the game came out, but I just kind of like it that way. And, yeah, sort of got a bit sick of the music track. It's kind of like Me, Myself, and I from 2K17. I've heard it too much.
Yeah, the soundtrack did... Well, in the demo I had, it was only one song. So that was just kind of looping. So when I started to play, I did turn the volume down on the music and that just because it was... Yeah, just having that one song.
It's a bit obnoxious. I'm also, you know... To EJ, not only Johnson, but the EJ in the game, and Iron Eagle, they're just not Tim Kitzrow. You know, you can't sort of replicate what he's done with Jam. I mean, some of the concepts I like, some I don't. I think it's mostly the execution. I mean, there's people saying you can't compare it to the classics. I mean, you got a yardstick, so I mean, I think it's only fair to compare them to some point. I was trying to temper my expectations. I might have got them up too high, but... Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd rather play any of my old favorite arcade basketball games, you know, Hang Time, Jam Tournament Edition, On Fire Edition. You know, I'd play these ahead of this. You know, I'm hoping that they can do some post-release support and really clean up some of that gameplay. But yeah, I kind of played it. As I said to you and Kenny last night, I'm really disappointed. And maybe my expectations were too high, but I mean, if I said this in the forum. If this had an EA label on it, would people be as forgiving? You know, just putting that out there. I mean, it's...
Well, this is the first attempt at it. And, you know, if they're going to do... Like, I'm a little bit more forgiving on it in terms of, yes, okay, it's a new game. Really, a company really starting to do this type of thing.
So it is. I mean, Saber has been around.
Slight pass in that thing, but yes, I think there's some areas where they can improve on. And hopefully, you know, if they're going to do it, whether they do it once a year or once every second year kind of thing, you know, things to improve on and that sort of thing. And obviously with post-release support and all that stuff. So, I'm just happy that there's an extra basketball video game and something that's different in terms of, you know,
sure.
Sim stuff, especially you know, if EA are focusing only at the sim stage.
If they're not going to
offering like a Jam or a shoot at the moment,
if they're not going to do that, then it's good to have that alternative. Absolutely, I guess I got my hopes up. I was expecting more. You know, the bar is very high because we've had some great arcade basketball games. You know, starting with the original Jam all those years ago. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I at the same time, you know, I feel that it's you know. New or not, you know, Saber has been around since 2003. They're not like an indie startup or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do feel that, you know, and the other thing people are saying, oh, it's only $20. Well, actually, it's $29.95 Australian, which currently works out to be about $22 US. So I did pay more for it. Thank you very much. but I think no matter what the price point, it's fair to, you know, to criticize and point out the flaws. I mean, hey, the NBA Elite 11 demo was free, but we, you know, it was certainly fair to criticize that because it did have a lot of issues. I do get cutting it some more slack, and I guess it is just the high expectations I had for it. you know, some of these issues, it remains to be seen whether it is the engine, the basic underlying programming, or whether they can fine-tune it. I think the big thing is that ratings don't really seem to matter. Like, I've had Dwight Howard nail multiple threes against me, and he's got low ratings. So the CPU just kind of seems to ignore the ratings as well. So there's stuff they need to tune with the AI if they can make that a bit smarter. Again, might have been spoiled by the real AI in On Fire Edition, because that was fantastic, you know, what they did with that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's I'm just kind of bummed by it, basically.
No, that's fair. I think that's fair, you know.
And of course, the other thing I should point out to people is that I very rarely go on rants like that about games. So when I say something's bad, I really do mean it. You know, I usually like to keep fairly measured about things. So if I really express disappointment, you know, I'm, you know, quite genuinely disappointed. You know, it's not, you know, I joke about shoelace physics and everything, but it's obviously, you know, but so we will see. I mean, they do have plans for post-release support, roster updates and everything, so they could potentially keep updating this game for a few years. So that's, you know, with both patches for the gameplay and also the rosters and unlocking new legends and everything. So there is potential there. I guess I was hoping it would be a bit further along, but yeah, maybe I've just been spoiled by the previous games from other companies.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the initial release is just sort of still technically in a beta element, and, you know, just sort of get public feedback.
I guess, but I mean, again, it's at a digital RRP. You know, most digital titles go for that kind of amount. Again, if it was EA or Visual Concepts, do you think people would be as forgiving? I mean,
I can agree with that. But yeah, I'm forgiving because this is kind of their first foray into it. I know that they're still working on the new Shaq Fu game and all that stuff as well.
Oof, yeah. Well, that has no chance of being good. I'm sorry if basing it on the original, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. It's like remaking Michael Jordan Chaos in the Windy City. Like, there's no need. Just leave it there. It was a relic of the 90s. It, you know, there's some things about the 90s that I miss, and there's some things that I definitely don't. And, you know, that and dial-up internet is something I do not miss. So,
well, it would be interesting to see, like, given what Amy Hennig's done since writing that story and been working on that game, given now the stuff that she's done with obviously creating characters like Nathan Drake and all that stuff from the Uncharted series, so, and obviously now working on the Star Wars game for EA and stuff, so
yeah, I guess,
you know, given with the experience and now, if she was ever, you know, to ever get the opportunity to do the second version of that and to sort of go, I'd kind of see where, be interested to see where she could take the game now, given her qualifications and experience and, I guess, resume and stuff now. But yeah, I know what you mean, and yeah, I'm can definitely agree on, like, especially with dial-up internet, especially that freaking sound.
Yeah, I'm oddly nostalgic and oddly hated at the same time.
Yeah.
I should have, you know, closing on the NBA playgrounds, I should mention those are my initial impressions. I have had moments where it felt really good, so hopefully the more I play and the more I get used to it, it is different strategically from previous games, and maybe it is part of that. I will certainly concede that point. People have pointed that out in the forum, and that is fair enough. So I'll keep playing it. You know, I don't want to do a proper review of it yet. You know, I was thinking of maybe doing a video review, certainly a written one, once I've kind of played it a bit more and given it more of a chance. You know, I did have a couple of good games last night after I finished, gave it a bit more of a go, and sort of went through and did my good and bad in the forum. So there is definitely potential there. You know, I definitely have to give it that. I guess, you know, I'd set the bar too high, but, you know, as you say, it is their first release. It is the, you know, and what game doesn't get a patch these days in post-release support? So I guess we'll see. But I mean, I am still glad that people have, you know, another company has thrown their hat into the ring with an arcade game or any kind of NBA basketball game that that we can actually have this these alternatives and other experiences. So I guess we'll find out. I guess I was hoping for a bit more, and maybe that's on me for getting my hopes up, but it is what it is. So we'll have to see where they go from here.
Well, would you agree it's better than that NBA Wall of Beats or game or whatever it was?
Oh, me just dribbling in the backyard is better than Ball of Beats, but yeah, I mean, there's probably been worse. I mean, well, I tell you what, it's better than Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. I mean, Windows Solitaire is better than Minesweeper is better than Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball, for crying out loud. But there is potential, and if I'm harsh on it, it's just because I do love NBA Jam so much and was expecting, you know, really wanting that, you know, what that Jam experience again. And hey, if they can do it with some post-release support, you know, we'll obviously keep covering the game and I'll keep giving it a go. You know, it was only until recently that I picked up Fallout 4 again after, you know, because you remember how hyped I was for that game.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then there were things when they changed that I wasn't so thrilled about. And I gave it a go recently and played it a bit more and got to a point where, actually, this is what I wanted. So it is sometimes just a matter of looking at it with fresh eyes. And once that initial, you know, you look at initial impressions, you know, a lot of people thought 2K17 was great out of the box and patches have their problem. But after you've played the game for a while, you either start noticing the good or the bad one way or the other. So you definitely have to give it more of a go. I've played a fair few games of it already, exhibition and tournament. I couldn't get an online game; it crashed on me, which wasn't a good sign. But you know, keep giving it a go. I have heard that the online is better, so it could just be that this is mostly going to be the value is going to be online more so than offline. In which case, you know, maybe yeah, that's just the way it goes. Maybe I'm a dinosaur in that case. But
and I admit, like, I given that the only modes that I could play was the online one for the I can't comment what the other exhibition is.
Yeah, mine's mostly offline tournament. Offline tournament does seem to be kind of cheesy, if nothing else. So, and that's where because the CPU doesn't miss as often.
Yep.
Well, it does miss, but it's kind of it's easier on the better releases and everything. So, yeah, online I need to try online. Actually, I also hope they add a play online with friends option. That's also missing at the moment.
Yeah, because, you know, I would have liked to play against you guys and that.
Yeah, you know, once they add their 4-on-4 multiplayer, you know, to get three friends together and play that, you know, some 2-on-2 like that, you know, there could be a lot more value in that. It might just be a game that I think a lot of games these days are going for that online experience more so than the single player campaign, so to speak. So this might be another one, in which case I'll have to play some more online when I can get to play online, of course, and take it from there. So, you know, I reserve the right to change my opinions and adjust my judgment of it as I continue to play it. But initially, a little disappointed, very disappointed, I guess. But you know, definitely some potential there. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think I was explaining it to Mario and Haval that, you know, it's potentially foundation building for them in
sure.
terms of the game. So that's the way I've looked at it. And yeah, from the few games that I got to playing online, it seemed pretty good. It was just, yeah, those couple little quirks here and there, and then it'd actually be pretty solid in that sense. But yeah, and I think a couple of things that you had said, I hadn't got to experience, like, in terms of like the CPU cheese, obviously, because I was going against another user.
Mm.
So
it's a different experience.
Yeah. So I think once I get to experience that, and you get to experience the online element, I think we'll both be able to give a more complete sort of review and stuff like that of it. So yeah,
see how patches go, see how I go after I've got more used to some of the quirks and the strategy of this game. Yeah, so reserve the right to change my mind as I experience more and get used to it, I suppose. So a topic that we've been holding back because you've missed a couple of shows and basically definitely wanted to get your take on it is the whole concept of the detailed feedback, basically. And this is born off OS did the great interviews with Leftos and John and a couple of the other guys from Visual Concepts, you know, and they touched on the whole subject of what is great constructive feedback and how to get noticed by 2K, all that stuff. Once again, definitely a great video series to check out. And with that in mind, I did write a Monday tip-off a few weeks back about rethinking constructive feedback. And basically, I was kind of reflecting, Ben, on how over the years I think I've gotten more vague with the feedback or really enthusiastic about going really in-depth with some of my feedback, you know, writing out all these ideas and logistics of everything. And for me, I think it's kind of a case of burnout. You know, you've written all these, done all these wish lists, you've done all these articles, you've done all this stuff, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't make it into the game, and you've still got the legacy issues, and you feel like, oh, it's not making a difference. So you get kind of cynical and burned out. And I know you've done a lot of lengthy feedback documents and such over the years. Have you felt that same kind of, what's the point kind of burnout when you've been doing the feedback in recent years?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I stopped after probably after the whole Elite 11 sort of thing. Like, I didn't do as much anymore, or it's really toned it down. And more just figured, okay, especially that they were going into recent rebuilding phases, and obviously the relocation stuff in regards to EA. You know, it was right now their priority is to do what they're going to focus on. Once they get to the stage where they're happy, I think that's when they'll start taking things on board and what they can work on and, you know, for the next phase and all that stuff. So I think that's where it came for me. I was like, okay, so I'll become more, I don't want to say passive, I was more let them see what they were going to do, because obviously they got a different priority at this stage.
Well, yeah, but both they and 2K have their own roadmaps, and they're going to incorporate people's ideas into that, but they're not going to, oh, someone on the forum says we should do this. Well, scrap all our plans. You know, yeah. This one person has made a suggestion. We must follow it. Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, I think, I think you, given the case too, like some of the things that we've even talked about on the podcast, and in regards to a lot of the legacy issue stuff, it's like, I can understand the whole burnout element in terms of that it's something that seems to get ignored or not acknowledged in a lot of sense, and so it's like, oh, okay, so it's another year of this still, these few issues still being here. Okay, so the waiting game in terms of that continues, and yes, both games have done it in the past. It's not trying to target one over the other. So, you know, both have had these little things and that little quirks and stuff that have still been in for a couple of years and in each of their games and that. So, and you know, it's like, okay, so especially when you're coming into a new generation and all that stuff, like we did in 2013, it's like, okay, so again, the priorities are going to be different. They're going to focus on what they're going to want to. Now it's, year four now in terms of it. This might be the stage of, it's like, this would be with 2K, obviously, because they've had more solid, like, in terms of consistent releases and all that stuff.
Yeah, the games have come out, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to put it politely, but yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is, you know. EA make no bones about it.
Yeah. I think they could really start to iron out the kinks in their systems and all that stuff, you know. Really tweak and work on and improve on getting rid of those grandfather issues and legacy issues and stuff like that. You know, they've got the solid foundation, they've got the game modes down really deep in terms of things. And Yeah, so they've got at a stage now where it's like surely it's time where they'd be in a better position now to sort of look at some of those legacy issues and the feedback element from the community in terms of things. I still think we can still be a good voice, and I think in terms of giving the, I won't say criticism, but feedback and...
Yeah, constructive feedback.
Yeah, constructive feedback and keeping it detailed. And the fact now that we record video and stuff like that and say, and you can, you know, could use the example, and if we have the ability to use the mic and, you know, do some audio editing and, you know, you could do some tweaks in the clip and all that stuff and say, look, you know, in this scenario here, you know, you could probably even pause it up to a certain point, like you have the animation sequence play out and then pause it to just before the quirky point or the issue that you're going to bring up arises or is about to come up and say, at this point, this is my intention to play. You know, this is what
you can really illustrate what you mean as a put more than just describing it in text.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, you can start the play then. You can even possibly, again, if you have like the video editing tools in, you know, outside of the console element where you could do like the lines and circles that you see on like the coaches boards and stuff like that, you know, you can say this is the intention, but this is this is like, for example, of who
the telestrator.
Yeah, exactly. And so you get to do that element to it. Would add a layer of depth in terms of the construction, in terms of the constructive feedback.
Yeah,
it would give a developer an understanding, a clear visual understanding of the intent and they could see where maybe the slight flaw was or the issue that you're wanting to bring up and say, well, in this scenario, why couldn't have this happened or something like that. So, or whatever it may have been. So I think there's a good, we're in a better position now to be able to do that with the tools and the systems that we have.
Right.
Still in terms of, yeah, just simplifying it, and instead of it being like a 300 word essay or 5,000 word essay, depending how much feedback and all that stuff, you know, it'll minimize the time the developers will have to spend reading it, when they can just simply go, okay, in a 5-10 second play sequence, they can go, okay, so this is what the intent, and what was the actual outcome from what happened. What can we do to potentially look at this scenario and potentially others like it and go, okay, so it's something that seems to be a common occurrence with, you know, a lot of people having similar issues to it. Okay, what can we do to work on it in that sense? And, you know, when they have team meetings and potentially things like that with other staff and other, say, like gameplay developers and all that stuff, you know, they can show, and it would be easier and, again, less time consuming in a sense for everyone to have to read everything and go, oh, wait, what is this person meaning?
Because
it could be the way they word it. Sorry if I'm rambling.
No, I mean, visual aids, you know, I think you know, it's something even that OG and Dazar both talked about, you know, somebody stepping up and making that kind of content that really demonstrates how games can get better. I guess the question is, you know, why aren't people doing that? Have we become too burned out and cynical because of those legacy issues that we just sort of, you know, again, from my own experience, kind of having done the wish list for so many years and writing, you know, I write multiple articles a week and do the podcast, so I talk about this stuff a lot. Coming up again on 100,000 posts in the forum, so I've certainly been involved in a lot of discussions with my fellow basketball gamers in the community over the years. You know, is it just simply after a while you kind of get, you know, I've talked about this so much, you know, I just can't be bothered putting in the effort. Is it just come down to that?
In a sense, like jaded.
Yeah, jaded, cynical, burned out on the whole thing. I mean, certainly when it comes to video editing, not everyone has the skill or the time to do it, as opposed to, you know, whacking up a list of bullet points. And of course, the bullet points are always going to be important. But, you know, again, I know that you've sort of had that. And as you said, you know, you've kind of waited until they get to where they need to be in their roadmap and then want to put out the more suggestions and everything. But, you know, would you say it is that burnout that people are just feeling like, you know, well, what's the point? It's not going to make a difference. I mean, obviously, I think it does at the end of the day, but it's easy to lose sight of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose people would feel that they have such a small voice in terms of it that, you know, will they ever get heard?
Mm.
So, no, I can understand that. But again, you know, we are the consumers in terms of things. And, you know, if I don't want to say like vote with your pocket or like with your wallet and kind of thing in terms of things, but
and to some extent, yeah, you do, don't yeah. you?
Yeah, I mean, if you know, if the element of concern is potentially game breaking enough, yes, I can understand that. Where it's a system that's totally broken or keeps getting messed around and all that stuff, then I can understand that.
Well, what do you think would actually encourage people to do it? I mean, my fallback is, you know, hey, if you don't put the feedback out at all, it's definitely not going to make an impact. As long as it stays in your head, it's not going to do anything at all, you know. And you don't really lose anything by putting the ideas out there. So, I mean, but beyond that, putting that logic, that rationale out there, what can you kind of do? I mean, people need that passion about the games and that creativity to write the articles and to make the videos and to suggest these ideas. And you know, because people do have some great ideas, but I think we need to outline them, because so often we fall back on the, oh, make the gameplay better. Well, that doesn't really say how you want to do it. You know, what is your complaint that would make the gameplay better if we addressed it, kind of thing? You know, that's, and we've talked about that before, what constructive feedback is. You know, what kind of encourages people, you know, what can we do within the community? What can the developers do, you know, to demonstrate, you know, this is an example of the community feedback being put to good use. You know, I guess that's the issue that we find ourselves confronted with.
Okay. I think... Okay, this is just purely ran off the top of my head. For those who do that kind of work and put in those videos, maybe strengthen your voice by getting it out there, by, you know, especially if you're new to the whole scene and all that stuff, you know, potentially approach not only the development staff and, you know, the community outlets like us and OS and all that, potentially even some famous YouTubers and stuff like that, you know, link them to the video, say, look, you know, if you ever do something like talk about things that could be or need to be addressed in you know, future games and all that stuff, I'd like to submit this, you know. And they have a massive following, and a lot of the community managers and all that stuff do, you know, because they would have a higher subscriber rate and viewership rate, you'd be able to get the message out there a lot easier, especially if you're someone new that maybe has like 3 or 4 followers or something like that, as opposed to someone that has like thousands of followers. So that'd be a potential way of getting message out there. You know, if that maybe that YouTuber or that community person that you reach out to sees it and, you know, takes what you're saying aboard and brings it up in their video and even links your video, that's a way, you know, that could help get the message out there. You know, it would improve the chances, I'd say. I can't guarantee, obviously, that, you know, it would resolve everything and, you know, yes, everyone on the staff is going to see it, but it would be a way to improve the chances and get that discussion out there.
And I see what you're saying. It's kind of almost, it's bringing that round to a community aspect and having that unified voice. Like, this isn't just one person yelling into the wind. This is a lot of gamers saying the same thing.
Exactly. You know, if we can, if the community works on enough thing and brings up enough of the same issue, like, say there's like 20 core issues where there's like multiple thousands of people that go, yes, I think these key elements here could be improved on in for this game, you know. And if there's enough voices, there's enough
I guess agreement in the points, really.
Yeah, you know, it could become more of a priority in terms of getting, you know, the developers' attention. And it's like, okay, we've got something here that's a solid foundation of concern in terms that there's enough people here agreeing and discussing this certain thing. What can we do to potentially address and work on it? So, because in a lot of cases we hear, like, when, you know, the PR stuff starts to come out for like the new games, oh, we've listened to the community and we've worked on this. So it'd be a way to hopefully get the ball rolling on that. That's just something that's a possibility that could happen. I mean,
there has to be some unity, doesn't there? Because otherwise it is just one person with a loud voice saying, you know, I want these changes. Like, well, you are just one person, you know. But if it is that unified voice as much as it can be, because we all have our own opinions on and priorities for the game, if we can kind of, yeah, if come together and have some kind of consensus, you know, never going to have complete consensus.
A common ground and where we can all sort of go, a common ground and where there's something that everyone can agree on. Yes, I think this can be improved upon for the good of the game if it's done differently or if there's just a slight tweak to it, you know. And so I think that's a potential way to get the discussion out there and hopefully it will land into get into the hands of the people that need to hear it and that are working on the game.
Yeah, say, okay, I mean, obviously,
can we get this done? Will it be this year or the following year? You know, whether it becomes in the plans for upcoming titles, you know. So,
I mean, we'll obviously pass on things to the people that we know in both companies, and they also mentioned in the OS videos that they are checking out OS and LSC and other sites, social media, of course. So that, it's not that they're not keeping tabs on it. Some stuff is probably easier said than done, naturally. But the only other thing that I'd throw out there is, of course, if you have great ideas, flesh them out. You know, don't be afraid to go into detail and talk about all these cool ideas you have. You know, it may not all be feasible, but it might be feasible in some form. Maybe not exactly how you pitch it, but again, it comes back to just saying, don't make the game modes better, make gameplay better. Yeah, but you got to say how and exactly what you like and dislike and what you want to see more of and less of. So.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Like, if you actually spend the time fleshing out an idea, your idea may have just started out as one sentence. You know, if you're writing it out, but it might become like three paragraphs and like 12 bullet points kind of thing by the end of it. You know, and it could be like 3 pages or 2 pages long. You know, it's like, okay, and then you can really, really break it down. And if you have, there was back in the old days when I was on the old conference calls and that with EA, when I had an idea and that, and I'd bring it up, I'd express how the initial idea, how it could work, and then how it could affect potentially other modes in the game and that. So you do this element that I'd describe as full circle in terms of, or the greater picture in that sense. So I'm trying to remember exactly how I did it, because I'm trying to go back, think back, like,
yeah,
since 2009 to 2011, really. So, but yeah, there's this whole approach that I took, and yeah, it's
being prepared to bring ideas to the table, I think, the bottom line, you know, and being able to express them. And that's kind of, you know, I guess my final point on it is, it's made me, you know, thinking about that and thinking how I've kind of got burned out, thinking, well, hey, you know, maybe it's time for me to start putting a bit more effort in, because I've kind of gotten to the point where perhaps I was a bit jaded, a bit cynical, certainly burned out and, you know, felt like I'd said it all before. But, you know, there's new developers coming through all the time, always things changing within the game, so time to start thinking, okay, what do I really want out of the games and how do I express that? And putting those in words and videos and audio podcasts and everything, and, you know, sending that information, posting it publicly, you know, and sending it directly to developers that I know, and taking it from there. You know, I just feel it moving forward. I kind of feel a bit refreshed about giving a damn, I guess. Not that I've ever stopped caring about basketball games, but, you know, caring a bit more about the feedback to the point where I'm like, okay, you know, I've said what I want, but have I really said what I really want, kind of thing, and actually making that effort and saying, okay, here's some real specifics of how I want to see it done and how I think it could work for your game, and putting that out there so that I'm actually... The constructive feedback is the most constructive it can be, basically. And yeah, that's something I resolved to do moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, if you get it in the public forum where... if you have your own YouTube channel, or if you bring it up to another YouTube channel, or even like with us in terms of having like a podcast or something like that, something where you can get the message out a lot clearer in a more real time element in that, and have it like an open discussion to it, your idea, and, you know, depending how much you even like reveal about it and go into detail about it, it might trigger someone to think of something else and how to expand it, or how to improve it, you know. So you get that whole you know, it might trigger someone else to sort of go into, oh yeah, hey, and then it becomes a lively discussion and ideas and that bounce off each other and that, and you know, that has a really cool effect. So, it
becomes more productive, a community effort, like you said before.
Yeah, and, you know, one small idea could end up, within a matter of minutes, expanding to a really cool, big idea. And yeah, I think that's one way. And, you know, again, power of social media, an element like that in being able to get the message out there in terms of things, you know, blog sites and stuff like that, YouTube, and it's easier now to get the information out and to get the idea out and for it to be heard in a lot of ways, you know. So I think it's a good time in terms of that, and it's just a matter of utilizing the tools, yes, okay, that are out there. Yes, it might take a little bit of time, or I can understand, you know, with what I was saying with the video stuff, if you were trying to do like the post-production element to it,
yeah,
it might be a bit tricky.
Sure.
But, you know, you might be able to explain things and do things in another way. To get the same message out there. It's just, we got a lot of creative people out there, so I'm sure there's ways.
And if you have the passion for the games and to give the feedback, just, you know, just run with it, basically, however you can. So at some point, drop the snark, you know. We all need to get our complaining out of the way. You know, that's important. That's cathartic. You know, yeah. But then sort of get past that and say, okay, time. You know, we've said what we dislike. We've had our spray. We've had our rant. You know, here's what we think. Here's what we want out of the game. Here's how we think it should happen. Here's how we think you could probably do it. So, yeah, I think moving forward, that's what we need to do. And hopefully we do see that moving forward, everyone pitching in and throwing out some great ideas. Because I know we can. We've done it before. We can just a matter of throwing off some of those jade-colored glasses, I guess, and rolling up our sleeves.
Yeah.
So normally on the podcast, we talk a bit about the NBA playoffs. We do have another segment to go before that. I'll be honest, Ben, I don't have anything to say about the playoffs because I've been so bored by them. It just seems like blowout after blowout. It's going to be Cavs and Warriors. Yeah, I really wanted to get back into the NBA this season after feeling jaded and everything. You know, there's that again. But and sort of falling, you know, having declining interest in the last couple of years, in some ways at least. You know, yeah, I just, these playoffs have not been particularly great, I think, as far as classic games and moments.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I think it's just... Oh, what would be the word I'm looking for? It lacks a certain level of intensity. And
it's anticlimactic, basically. There's no kind of
epic
games. The Rockets Spurs game, the game 5 was pretty good. I caught the bit at the end of that and the game saving block by Ginobili. and such. And there's been some moments, but it seems like the biggest discussion is, you know, that we're marking time until it's the Cavs and Warriors in the finals, and Isaiah Thomas carrying the ball. Like, that seems to be the biggest discussions right now. So
yeah,
it's hard to get really with neither of our teams in the playoffs. It's hard to get invested.
Yeah,
well, mine was briefly, and then Rondo went down, and then that certainly went downhill very quickly. But it's been hard to get invested, I guess.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I haven't been following it as much as I would have liked to as well.
Charles Barkley says the NHL playoffs have been more exciting. So even NBA analysts are kind of tuning out of the playoffs. That's how it's been. Yeah, it's kind of, you're not a Cavs or Warriors fan, and I don't really like either team, to be honest. You know, if I'm going to be totally honest here. I don't even know if I'm going to watch the finals. You know, that's... And it's not that there aren't great players involved there. It's just it feels like such a foregone conclusion that it's hard for me to care, really. You know, it's... I feel like this is a real... You know, it's... And they'll say, oh, you're a, you know, bitter old hater and you just want the 90s to come back. I was quite happy with the... You know, still really into the league up until a few years ago. You know, it's sort of been the last couple of years that I've kind of really fallen out of love with the league, I guess, in some ways. And it's disappointing. Maybe I am too jaded. Maybe I am too cynical. But it's the blowouts haven't helped. Like it's, no. You know, there's been no reason to watch a game from beginning to end because, like, okay, yep. So this is decided by the half. So okay, just gonna watch a team run up the score. Unless you're a fan of the team, who cares?
Watch the 3-minute highlights on NBA.com.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, it's just catching some of the highlights. If there's a cool play, you know, seeing that on YouTube or whatever, or you know, come up in the Facebook feed or on Twitter. So, you know, it's a shame, but hopefully, you know, there'll be a few games to get me back into it. Maybe the Western Conference Finals, perhaps. Well, I guess we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's been so uneventful that it's. At least past the first round, yeah. It's hard to really say anything about it.
Yeah, I can agree on that. Yeah, it just feels like the inevitable wait. It's just this, like you're just standing in line, in a sense, and in like a checkout and all that stuff. Just waiting for that, the line to move, in a sense.
Yeah, there's no chance now of Wizards Jazz. So that just would have been like blown everyone's mind if that somehow happened. But
and you got Abe Simpson just talking about the nickel,
pretty much. Just,
yeah. So yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm hoping from the outcome of this is that the Spurs beat the Rockets in the next game, and I suppose the only semi-interesting series in a sense. Is the Celtics Wizards one?
Yeah, and Game 5 was a blowout there, so it's sort of
yeah.
So it just added to the whole anticlimactic nature, but we'll see how it goes. You know, sometimes we've seen other playoffs turn around before, and final series become really good. So I guess we'll see. About all I have to say about the playoffs this week. So I guess what we'll do is we'll actually end the show for once on our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down.
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
How about it? We actually had another 2K Pro-Am session that was enjoyable.
Yeah, it's rare, but yeah, it was to go back to that, having decent sessions and that. So, it was good fun. It was you, me, and Leo, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got on there for 4 games last week. We were 2-2. Very close to being 3-1. It's just that was it. The first game was close, and they just pulled away at the end. The second one you fouled out, and then it was just Leo and I going against kind of a cheesy team. That's our excuse, and we're sticking to it. but then the next two games we played really well.
Yeah, it was a little odd thing, but the first 3 games I went 1-5 from the field, and then. It wasn't until the 4th game where I broke that sort of hoodoo in that sense. So that was kind of nice to end it, given how poorly I was weirdly shooting that night.
We all hit 20 points at least in that last one. So that was a good one to end on. You know, we kind of called it a night on that, and it was a good decision, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
The odd thing was, for the first couple of games, I wasn't getting assists. Like, I was passing the ball, obviously, but I was scoring, and that's, you know, usually I'm the, you know, kind of a balanced scorer, and but mostly looking to set up, and I was doing that, but I kind of had the opportunity to score, and I'm, at one point, I'm leading the team in scoring, and I only have two assists, and like, this is really reverse of what I usually do. It's just...
Yeah. It's not a typical Andrew game, so, yeah, it was... Yeah, the first two games are sort of weird in that sort of sense. And I'm glad we picked it up in the last two games and won well. Do you think we'll get time to play one more session of it this weekend, do you reckon? Or
yeah, I mean, I'm going over the weekend, but Friday night, certainly, I'm guessing, you know, if everyone's keen, it'd be good to get a couple of games in. You know, certainly at least three of us. That's we need the at least three. Unless we're going to do walk on, and we're not going to do that because we know how that goes each and every time. You know, my park, we had a decent run last time. You weren't on the show, but I mentioned, you know, we had the three in a row, and then we both made the mistake of mentioning it. This is not last week, the week before, I think. We mentioned that we were like, oh, you know, we can get that trophy, get the five in a row. And of course, that naturally, we lost the game, the fourth game. But yeah, we had a pretty good run that time as well.
Yeah.
But you know, we didn't play My Park last week. We called it. We said, you know, that was a pretty good way to finish, which was a good decision, I think. But yeah, and it was some really good ball movement. I think we were hitting threes. You know, you weren't getting screwed over on the threes. You actually hit a few.
I think the last 2 weeks I've started to hit like two sessions in that we've done, or maybe even three. I started to hit threes again.
Yeah, some of the tuning updates. You know, thumbs up for that. I guess it may have helped us a bit.
But I still get screwed on a couple ones that were like pretty open, and I was like, you know, ones where it's like a full white bar, and it's like, surely that should have been bloody close. But yeah,
have you? Because you're a playmaker as well. Have you maxed out your threes, your long range shooting?
No, I think I've got about two levels, before I could actually.
Right, because I got mine to 72 standing, and I think it's up to like 78 on the move, because I guess they're expecting playmakers to pull up a lot on threes.
Yeah.
And I have done that, and that seems to work okay sometimes. Do you have any catch and shoot badges in the corner?
Yeah.
And everything?
I haven't got a corner specialist, but I do have catch and shoot.
Yeah. It helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Even the bronze badge is just that tiny little boost that I've noticed since I got it all those months ago, I'm starting to knock it down a little easier now, but yeah.
I think I got catch and shoot before you did, but yeah.
Yeah, you did, yeah. And then I spammed the corner threes to get the corner specialist in my career worked out. So that's pretty much brought us to the end of the NLSC podcast, episode number 204. As always, we hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Certainly appreciate that. If you want to listen to that through an Apple device or on the computer every single week. You can also find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices, or keep streaming on the NLSC, of course, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying it. That's the main thing. You can connect with us on social media, of course. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. Facebook is facebook.com/the NLSC. We're the NLSC everywhere, basically, that we are there, except YouTube, where we are youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center, because that was the vanity URL we had at the time. But never, you know, normally we are the NLSC. Links are there on the site, obviously. And of course, the site itself, where those links can be found, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out, like my interest in the NBA playoffs.